Judges chapter 6, verse number 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertaineth unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. So the beginning of the chapter, we see that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he delivered them unto the Midianites for 7 years. And he had run Israel into the caves, into the dens, and here is Gideon thrashing wheat down at the wine press. And the Bible says that they encamped against Israel, destroyed the increase of the earth, verse number 4, till they come to Gaza, neither left they sustenance for Israel, neither for sheep, nor ox, nor ass. You know, and the multitude of them were as grasshoppers, and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. You know, this looks like a hopeless situation, doesn't it? I mean, they've been there for years. They have just about got Israel down to absolutely nothing. But I think, again, about one man. You know, a while back we looked at one man named Josiah. One message from a man named Jonah. Here's one man. And you know, I'd like to encourage us to think that you as an individual can make a difference. You, one person, can make a difference. Here's Gideon thrashing wheat. There's no oxen. He must be doing it with a staff or something like that. You know, it looks hopeless. But the Lord said in verse number 12, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, where does he get this? Where is it that Gideon is a mighty man of valor? That word means strong, or strength, or able, or firm. A great force. So I believe you could say this without question. If the Lord is with us, there's a firmness. There's a stability. There is a force. Gideon's going to admit, we'll try to walk down through these verses and just think on them for a few minutes. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? I believe there's truth here, and there's a sense of being forsaken here. The truth is, God turned them over to the Midianites because of their evil, because of their turning away from God. But the truth is also that God sent them a prophet in the verse before the one I started reading. So there's a word from God. Has he forsaken us? I say this, if he's forsaken me, most likely that's been brought on by myself. But has he forsaken me for good? No, he has not. He's not left us to ourselves. Here he has, he sent us a word. And not only has he sent us a word, he's going to send Israel a man to deliver them. And you know, this man has got to be under the influence and under the power of God, or he's going to be exactly what he says he is. He's going to be the smallest, he's going to be the littlest, he's going to be the least, he's going to be without any ability of himself. And we don't have any ability of ourselves. But the Lord said, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon said, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why is all this befallen us? And where is his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Well, I believe there's some truth in that and some lies or some false, some that is false. God has not forsaken them, but they have forsaken God and they're reaping the results of it. They're reaping the results of forsaking God. But I would like to think about this, that Gideon remembers that it's God who brought them out. Gideon remembers hearing how that God brought them out of Egypt. He also remembers this. Notice in that verse that the Bible says, "Did not the Lord bring us out of Israel? But now the Lord is forsaken. Where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of?" I'd like to ask you today, just write down blunt, have we needed any miracle from God lately? I believe we're living in a world that is not dependent on any miracles from God. There's always another way. But if we today got our hearts to the place that we needed a miracle from God, you think God would do? I tell you, I believe God would do. And Gideon's going to be put in the place that he needs a miracle from God. How long's it been, honestly, since you needed a miracle from God to deliver you? You needed a miracle from God to deliver your object, to deliver your prayer request, to deliver what is facing you, your family, your situation, you as an individual, your family, the spiritual condition of those around us. How long's it been since we were dependent upon a miracle from God? How long? Honest. Ponder that in your mind. How long's it been since you've been to a place that the only hope you had was God to do a miracle? Well, now, just think about this. Gideon remembers that. "Oh, thou mighty man of valor." I believe one thing that makes him a mighty man of valor is this. The Lord is with thee. I believe that's part of it. But part of it is this. Lord, you're the one that brought all of this on us. All of this that's befallen us, God, you forsaken us. I don't know, and I really don't believe that Gideon thinks literally that God has forsaken him. But I believe that he believes by the truth that he knows about God that they have brought this upon themselves. But he also believes that this is the same God that performed miracles and brought the children of Israel out of Egypt's land. This is the same God. And Lord, listen, "But now, Lord, you have forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the media." He believes the reason they're there is because of God's hand. If we could believe that the situation that we're in, I don't care what it is, if it's good or if it's bad, if we could believe that it's God who has brought us there, It is God who has brought us there. I tell you, friend, the next two chapters, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see Almighty God do miracles in the life of one man that is going to revive Israel to a place that they rise up against their opposers. We have opposers, ladies and gentlemen. Our greatest opposers is our own mind of the world and the blessings that we're living in the midst of, and we have no real dependence upon God for His miracles and His workings that He's done in the past. We don't depend on that anymore. That's the God's truth. I tell you how we depend on it. God will work it out. It'll work out in God's time. It'll all come out in the wash. That's the way we think. Let me ask you, think Gideon thinks it's going to come out in the wash? I tell you, he needs the presence and the power of God Almighty. He needs the Lord to do a work in him today. He needs the Lord to do a work in him tonight. He needs to remember that God is a God of miracles. He's not a God, a friend, that'll work it all out and come out in the wash. And friend, we just lay by and expect God to work it all out. I tell you, this one man is going to make a difference in Israel. He is. Lord, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all of this befallen us? Do you see that Gideon realizes that the presence and the protection and the goodness of God has been withdrawn from Israel? We read it in the first of the chapter, right? He knows that. He realizes the reason they're in this condition. His daddy is a Baal worshiper. His own father is a worshiper of Baal. God is going to take a man that has been raised in a family that doesn't know anything about God, and he is going to do a miracle in this man. One man. That's what the book says. I'm going to deliver Midian into your hand as one man. Who do you think's going to start? Who'll start? Who will believe God? Who will look to God for a miracle? Who would look to God and pray that God would bring a miracle in the service, in the family, in the church, in our lives? Would there be anybody be willing to trust God, believe God, pray to the Lord, seek after the Lord for a miracle? Gideon says, Lord, then why has all this befallen us? Where be all his miracles? How many miracles was there in Egypt? Well, there was 10 plagues. There was the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. There was delivery out of Egypt. They spoiled the Egyptians. They gave them everything they had. They took out a great spoil. They come down to the Red Sea, and God parted the sea for them. Friend, God fed them with manna for 40 years in the wilderness. God didn't let the shoes on their feet wax old or their clothes to wear out. God did all manner of things, gave them water out of the rock, showed Moses, a tree to put in the water. Waters of Mirah to make it sweet. I tell you, we're talking about a God of miracles. If you're saved tonight, you know who you are. You are a miracle. You are a miracle of God tonight. If you're saved, let's not give up on that God who is a God of miracles. You remember David Marshall preaching one time, God's not afraid to be tried. It don't worry God that you're going to put him on the spot. It don't worry God that you're going to expect something out of him. It doesn't worry God that you really need him and you're trusting in him. It doesn't worry him. He's not wringing his hands and wondering whether he can deliver or not. I tell you, our doubts and all that goes on around us in our thinking and the way that it's all going to work out and come out in the wash. My God, I wonder where that come from. You reckon God brought that, or you reckon that come from the devil? Lord, all of this, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him, and he said, go in this thy might. Well, now, if I just look at that verse right there, you know, it makes me look back at the previous verse, doesn't it? Wouldn't that be logical? And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. What? What might? What firmness? What force? What strength? That God, you brought us to this place. That the Lord looked upon him. He says over in the book of Numbers, I believe it is, Numbers chapter number 6, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You know what the Bible said? The Lord looked upon him. You remember how the Lord looked upon Peter? Was there something that Peter read into what the Lord, when the Lord turned and looked at Peter, was there a message to Peter? Is there a message to Gideon when God looks at him? I believe it ought to encourage us, ladies and gentlemen. It ought to encourage us that God would look upon us and make his face to shine upon us and make his countenance to shine upon us. Listen to what the Bible says in the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, the next morning after they've gone through the Red Sea, listen to what the Bible said. It came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians. What did God do that in the morning? I tell you, that morning, our friend, God looked through the pillar and looked through the cloud, and I tell you what he did. Our friend, when he looked, you know what happened? How there was destruction fell upon Egypt. God looks upon Gideon and he strengthens him and he gives him strength for the battle and he gives him faith in the inside. And friend, he gives him courage. You say, preacher, he doubted. I know that. But let me tell you this. Our friend, you know what he said in one place? In the Word of God, in the Gospel. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I read in a place where the man come and he said, your daughter's dead. Trouble not the master. And immediately the Lord said, you believe in me. Don't believe that. Immediately. Peter's going down. Save me. Immediately. God is looking upon Gideon. And friend, by God's look and by his trust in what has happened in the past, in the God that delivered with miracles, and the God that brought them out of Egypt, and the God that saved his people, and the God that brings destruction when I sin, and the God that brings his presence and his power when we do the right and do what is right. A friend, Gideon believes in that God, and God said, go in this. Go in this. Go in this, Gideon. Go in this, thou mighty man of valor. Go in this, Gideon. And the Lord looked upon him and he said, go in this thy might. You know what our might is? Our strength is? Believe the Word of God. Believe the God of the Old Testament. Believe the God of the Gospel. I believe the God of the resurrection. Believe the God that raised you. Believe the God when you were on the road to hell and there was a miracle performed. And friend, I'll tell you what the miracle is. How somebody that was dead has been raised to life by this same God. We've given up on the God of miracles. But now, the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. As part of that's true. Lord, you've forsaken your pleasure and your presence in the sense that you're blessing us. But Lord, you're still here. Let me ask you, who brought the Midianites? God did. Gideon realizes that. Lord, the reason the Midianites are overrunning us is because you brought them down. Go in this thy might. Thank God. Thank God for a word from heaven above. Thank God that the Lord would not forsake us.
Thank God that the Lord, as our sister said a few minutes ago, we get out of the way, we turn the wrong direction. I'll tell you this, friend, He's not forgotten about you. And He's the same God that delivered by miracles out of Egypt and delivered you and delivered me out of sin and out from under the control of the devil and out from under the leadership and the direction of the world and delivered me from the lies and the murderer. It took a miracle to deliver me. They're still serving the same God today. Don't give up on a God of miracles. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? So let's look now. The Lord, he says up here in verse number 12, the Lord is with thee. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a confirmation? Wouldn't you like to have a confirmation from God, the Lord is with you? And then He smiles on you. The Lord looks upon you. I mean, there's another confirmation. There's the countenance of God. There's the face of God smiling upon you. And then He says, I'm with you. My God, that ought to encourage us, shouldn't it? Shouldn't it encourage us that God says, I'm with you? What, you know what He said? He said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Can the Midianites win if God is with Gideon? They can't win, can they? Is it going to take a miracle? We're going to get to it in a few minutes. But the reason no miracles, God don't get any glory. Got 33,000 men, 32,000. I can't deliver you. I can't deliver you. I mean, they're like grasshoppers, the Midianites. Camels without numbers. 32,000 men. I mean, it's a sure defeat for Israel. 32,000 against, that's too many, Gideon. You know what's going to happen? You're going to steal the glory. Israel's going to get the glory. I tell you what God's going to do. It's going to be a miracle. God is going to bring us to the place that if there is any deliverance, it'll be a miracle and God will get the glory. And if that's not the way it is, you might as well forget about asking God to do it because He's not going to get any glory. It'll all be to you. That's the reason we don't see any miracles today. Man wants all the glory. I tell you, it amazes me. Somebody gets saved. Somebody repents. Somebody gets renewed. Somebody gets their heart right with God. And some person in the church jumps up and said, God's answered my prayer. Why don't you just grab all the glory? Why don't you try to take all the glory? I wonder why you didn't claim that before. I tell you, because people don't ask for it. They're trying to steal God's glory. That's the reason the Lord don't do any miracles today. God's not a bit afraid. He's not wringing His hands to be able to deliver the Midianites by Gideon as one man. That don't bother Him one speck. I believe Anthony and Ma'am mentioned it in Sunday school. The Lord sent one angel. It might have been somebody else. He killed 185,000 one night. 185,000 with one angel. You think God can't use a Gideon? Can God use you? If we could put God in His rightful place, God could use us. Listen, the Lord looked upon him and said, go. In this thy might. I don't believe that Gideon's going in his own might. I believe that Gideon realizes this. God has sent me. That's what he's going to say. Have not I sent thee? If God sent us, is that good enough for me to have confidence? If God sends us, ladies and gentlemen, can He lie? He cannot lie. Did he say, I'm going to deliver the Midianites into your hand? Can he lie? No, he cannot lie. I tell you, God help us to have confidence in the Word of God, in the miracle working God, in the God that said, I'm with you, the God that looked upon you, the God that let His face to shine upon you, the God that said, I called you, the God that said, I commissioned you, the God that said, I've sent you, I've got a job for you to do, and know this, I'm the one that's doing the work in you. If we could realize the God we're talking about, wouldn't it be wonderful to give some glory to the God that saved you? If you're saved tonight, saved from hell, saved from sin, saved from self, saved from the devil, saved from the lies, saved from this world that we live in, wouldn't it be wonderful to, wouldn't it be appropriate to give some glory to that one? The Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt. My gosh, what a message. I'm telling you, Gideon, I'm sending you, I called you, I'm with you. I've smiled on you. Gideon, I'm with you. And I'm sending you. Go. Go. Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Have not I sent thee? Am I not the one? Am I the one talking to you? He's going to give him a confirmation in just a few minutes that it's really God. It's really the angel of the Lord. I want you to notice this. Would you notice this? There came an angel of the Lord in verse number 11. Verse number 12, and the angel of the Lord. Verse number 12, latter part, the Lord is with thee. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if thou be with us, you're the one that not the Lord. And the Lord, it's not the angel of the Lord, is it? Oh, that just introduces us. God is on the scene. It's Jehovah on the scene. I believe we could look at it like this. It goes from the messenger to the one who sent the messenger. When we go from believing the messenger and the message, we get to the one who sent the message. The Lord looked upon him. The Lord, you notice it. It goes from the angel of the Lord to the Lord. The Lord is with thee. That's what he says. The angel of the Lord come, and he said, the Lord is with thee. Verse number 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. Have not I sent thee? You know, Gideon's going to say, oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Lord, behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. You know what? I believe here's some more of the might of this mighty man. Here's some more might. Here is some more valor. No confidence in self. It's going to take a miracle of God if there's any deliverance. Lord, I believe he's thinking like this. Lord, I don't have the means or the funds to muster up an army to fight these Midianites. I mean, we're talking about a little tribe, and Lord, I'm just a nobody even in my own family. God, I can't muster up a crowd of men. I can't get men to follow me in war against these Midianites. Oh, I believe that's a good trade. I believe that's a wonderful trade. I believe that's a great trade that we can see a miracle of God. Our friend, when you and I are willing to come down, you know what he can do? God can be lifted up. If I'm exalted, you know where he is? He's put down. But if I come down, he can be lifted up. Listen to what Paul says. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, Paul prayed three times for the thorn to be removed, and God said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Would you like to see a miracle? I tell you, if you and I would like to see a miracle, why don't we realize how weak we are? Why don't we realize how little that we are? Why don't we realize if the Lord don't come on the scene, there's no hope?
We always got some false hope that, and the truth is, it's always fleshly, isn't it? It's always fleshly. You listen to these words. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect, complete. Go in this thy might. Go in this thy mighty man of valor. The Lord is with thee. Go in this thy might. What might does he have? I believe he's got the same might that Paul wrote about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 9. My strength is made, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, and my strength is made complete most gladly. You know what Paul come to? I'm not going to get rid of this thorn in the flesh, but I tell you what I am going to do. I with this thorn in the flesh, with these Midianites, with all that opposes me, with all the unlikelihood of us being able to be delivered, I'm going to cast my cares upon the Lord, and I'm going to rely upon Him, because I know this, His strength is made perfect, and as little as I get, praise God, He'll get greater glory. I think it'd be good for us to desire a miracle that only God could do. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Most gladly, therefore, will I glory. Paul's going to glory in his weakness. Paul's going to glory in his infirmity. Paul's going to glory in his littleness. You know what he's going to do in all that? In his weakness, in his littleness, in his inabilities. When he's delivered, you know who's going to get the glory? God is. A friend, when they could say, well, Saul went out with all the armies and all of the children of Israel come up, and there was 2 million of them went out. Who gets the glory? They do. Paul said, I got this infirmity. I've got this weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know where Gideon is? Gideon's in a place where he's the little man. He's the little fella. My family is poor in Manasseh. I'm the least of my father's house. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 19 and following. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the disputer? Where is the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God of the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. I'm going to skip down to the latter part. Verse number 27. Verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty, the base things of the world, friend, that are despised, God has chosen, yea, and the things that are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh glory in His presence, but of Him are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, that according as it is written, he that glory, let him glory in the Lord. I tell you what it could be if we could get little enough. God could use us. We're too big for God to use. We're too big. Over and over and over and over again, we're too big. Gideon's not too big. Gideon said, I'm the least. And my family, my daddy's tribe, the tribe of Manasseh, we're just a bunch of nothings, and I'm the least in all of them. Well, I tell you, God's going to smile on him. God's going to equip him. Again, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. I believe that's what makes him this mighty man of valor. What makes him this man? Now remember, force, firm, steadfast, strength. What gives him this strength? It's not in him. His firmness, his strength, his steadfastness is in one who is immovable. His steadfastness is one who is immutable.
His steadfastness is in the God of miracles that brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. His faith and his steadfastness is in him. And you're going to say, well, preacher, he's going to ask for a sign. He is. He certainly is. But let me tell you something. This very night, read with me. Verse 25. And it came to pass the same night, the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years, and throw down the altar of Baal thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. Build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. You know, the Lord just answered by fire right up here on this rock. Build, and listen, and with the wood of the grove, make a burnt offering. What's he asking him to do? His daddy is a Baal worshiper. I tell you what he's going to do. He's going to follow the Lord. Now, he's going to do it at night because I believe the scripture tells us why. Because the people of the land and the people in his father's house would have rose up and probably killed him. But he is going to destroy Baal's altar. He's going to tear it down and the grove. He's going to cut down the trees where they worship Baal. And he's going to take his daddy's bullock, his daddy's oxen, his daddy's calf that he was going to sacrifice to Baal, and he's going to offer it on the altar to God. Now, you think he's got something in his heart? Mm-hmm. He's going to rise up against his own father, against his own family that is steeped in Baal worship. And you know what's going to happen? The next morning they're going to come and the people are going to say, Who tore down the altar of Baal? Who cut down the grove? It was Gideon. What does he say? Joash, bring your son out. Bring your son out. We're going to kill him. What does he say? Let Baal kill him. That's what he says. I hear you talk about turning daddy. Gideon turned daddy. Gideon's faithfulness unto God got daddy to say, let Baal plead for Baal. If you want my son killed, let Baal plead for it. Let Baal kill him. I tell you, thank God. Here is a man who is endued with the power of God. Here is a man. Now you tell me, did this take a miracle? Did it take a miracle for Gideon to survive? Imagine how that God must have worked on Joash to give this answer. What a working in the heart of Gideon's daddy to say, let Baal plead. That was a work of God, folks. That was a miracle. That was a miracle. Well, that's not all. He's going to give a miracle to the fleece. Then he's going to tell him to go out against the Midianites. And I've already told you, started out with 32,000 men over in chapter number 7. 32,000 men, and listen to what the Lord says. The Lord said unto Gideon, verse 2, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Isn't that the way it is in our world today? Honestly. Isn't that the way that it really is? Isn't that the reason that God is, and I don't mean to say this in any way disrespectful, or any way to discount God. But isn't that the reason that God doesn't work? I'm not going to say can't work. I'm going to say doesn't work. Because, listen to what the Word says. This is the Lord. The Lord said unto Gideon, they are too many for me to give the Midianites, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. You know why we don't see any miracles? We can do it. We're going to do it. I tell you, if 32,000 of them could have done it, friend, they would have done it and they would have gloried in it. They would have, you know what they were going to do at Ai? They were going to send 3,000 people up to Ai, and when they destroyed Ai, they were going to glory in how strong those 3,000 was. What did God do? God killed 32 of them. There was sin in the camp of Israel. There was no miracle there. I tell you, that's what man can do. It looks like there's no need in sending everybody up. Just send 3,000. If the Lord's not with you, you might as well forget it. If there's no miracle needed, forget it. Our friend, if there's no miracle and no means for you to carry it out, don't expect God to do anything. But oh, if we could get to the place where the only hope is God. What about that man? What about that man that went out to face the enemy and put the choir in the front? You remember him? He put the singers and the orchestra in the front and the army was behind. Who's going to get the glory in that battle? God is. God is. Who's going to get the glory in this battle? God is. Listen to what the Bible says. Now therefore, go proclaim it in the ears, you that are fearful, you that are afraid, you that are unbelieving, you that have no faith. Go home. 22,000 people went home. 10,000 left. Surely, God, this will work right here, Lord. Surely you can do it with... No, that's too many. We're going to get it down to 300 men with swords and machine guns and tanks. We're going to get it down to 300 men with a light in a pitcher and a trumpet in the other hand. You're the vessel. If you're saved, the light's within you. And the trumpet is the word of God. He's going to take 300 men and go up on the top of the mountain and get around the Midianites. And listen, what a confidence this man has come to from chapter number 6 and verse number 13 to chapter number 7 and verse number 17. Listen to this man. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. Could we say that? Could we say to our fellow men, could we say to our children, could we say to them, you watch me. You watch me, and I tell you, Gideon is following the leadership of the Lord. Gideon has all confidence. If they follow his lead, there is going to be success. God's already promised success. God's already promised that he would deliver them as one man. Gideon is the man that is going to bring the victory, and everybody else is going to line up behind him. And he said, you follow me. Could we say that? Could we say that with conviction? Could we say that with faith? Could we say that for our fellow man to follow us? Paul said, you follow me as I follow the Lord. I tell you, this is a confident man, isn't he? And he has no confidence in himself. Who do you reckon gave him this battle plan of pitchers with a light in it and a trumpet? Who gave that battle plan? I mean, the least he could have done is give him a sword, right? No, they're going to tell him who they killed. God's going to do it as a miracle. With a vessel, a light in it,
and a trumpet, God is going to deliver as one man. Listen just a little more. Look on me. My God, what a statement. Just say that in your mind. Look on me and do as I do. Could I say that and be confident if you followed my lead that it would be a miracle and a victory? Gideon believes that. Look on me and do likewise. When I am come to the outside of the camp, it shall be as I do, so shall you do. When I blow with a trumpet, and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpet all so on every side of the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. What is the sword of the Lord? Right here is the sword of the Lord, isn't it? Isn't this word of God, isn't that the sword? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I tell you something, folks. If you're saved tonight, you are a miracle. And I believe, I'm just going to say, I believe that God has impressed upon me this day that He is still in the miracle business. Gideon says, our fathers told us about the many miracles you did down in Egypt. Well, I tell you what, Gideon's going to be able to tell his son and his grandson, and if he's old enough to be able to live long enough till he's got great-grandchildren, you know what he can tell them? Let me tell you, son, about the time that God did a miracle for us and delivered the Midianites with 300 trumpets and men that were blowing on the trumpet and letting the light shine. Let me tell you about the miracle of God. Just a little more. Verse 22. Verse 21, every man stood in his place. You know, that's a big statement. What a verse right there. A message, no question. Verse 22, and the 300 blew the trumpets. The Lord set every man's sword against his... Who's fighting who? Midianites are fighting Midianites. The Manassites, the Gideonites, they don't have any swords. Sword against sword. Set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host, and they fled to Bethshittah and Zereth, and to the border of Abel-Meholah, unto Tabith. Now listen. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, out of Asher, out of Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. Who stirred them up? One man. One man encouraged all of these three tribes to pursue the Midianites. There was one man. Israel was stopped for 40 days in the Valley of Elah. There was one man. One man that stood upon Goliath and pulled his sword out of his own sheath and chopped Goliath's head off with his own sword and stirred up Israel to pursue the Philistines. One man. Can we make a difference? I tell you, if we can get small enough. And I'm not talking about God, you work it out in your own time and your own way, and Lord, let it'll all come out in a wash. I'm talking about asking God for a miracle. He's still in the miracle working business. And I believe if it brings glory to Him, I believe He's pleased to do it. He was in this situation.